thank you. Scott McKay and Maureen Moakley are away this week. Instead, we're joined by Dan McGowan, digital reporter for WPRI.com. Thanks for joining us, Dan.
Thanks for having me, Ian.
And we're pleased to welcome one of the two Republicans vying for the chance to run for the legislative seat held by House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello, Stephen Frias. Thank you for joining us, Steve.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Steve Frias, earlier this week, you called for the release of all the materials from the 38 Studios criminal investigation. You said Speaker Mattiello should make the same request, and he did a few hours after your news release. But Attorney General Peter Kilmartin says Mattiello's request seems more of a political reaction than a legal reaction. You're the one trying to get a reaction from Mattiello, so isn't there also a political component to your request?
That's an interesting point you're making. The truth of is, even before I started running for office, I've been always believing in an investigation in 38 Studios. And I think a lot of Rhode Islanders want a full investigation in 38 Studios. And if the Attorney General and the state police have done the work, and we paid them to do this work, then why shouldn't they release the documents?
As far as there being an outside probe of 38 Studios, some people have been calling this for years, and yet it's not happening. Governor Raimondo has kind of changed her stance on that. What would it take at this point, or perhaps after the civil trial of 38 Studios, slated to start in October, to actually bring about an outside probe?
I think to bring an outside probe, it's going to have to be some kind of embarrassment inside the State House, where it's revealed that there's some person or some connection that we didn't know about is revealed. And that's maybe these documents that Peter Kilmartin, the state police, have show that more members of the General Assembly knew about this than they're letting on. And maybe that will put enough pressure and break the code of silence that's going on up there at the State House so that we finally have an independent probe of this whole thing so we know exactly what happened.
Let's go to Dan.
Certainly, Colonel O'Donnell and the state police have a reputation of being beyond reproach. They say that they, you know, lifted up every rock to try to turn over this investigation and didn't find anything. What is it that you do expect to come of any of these documents if they're released?
Two things I hope to find out about these documents is, number one, who in the powers that be at the time knew about this, and what did they know? What we hear all the time is, like, it's basically just a deal between Gordon Fox and Mike Corso. Don't ask any more questions. And I don't believe that's the case. I have a hard time believing that this $75 million loan thing could go through the General Assembly with basically only Gordon Fox knowing, and maybe Steve Constantino, it seems, what's going on. I think more people knew. And that's the first thing. The second thing I'll say is, I want to know the details of the relationship between Mike Corso and Gordon Fox. Was Gordon Fox, obviously, is in jail right now. He was in jail for other stuff. But was there some evidence of something corrupt between Corso and Fox? And I think people want to know that too.
But if there was, wouldn't there be charges brought?
Now, that's a good point, because, you know, attorneys always talk about this and that. And here's the thing. Even if there's not enough evidence to prove somebody was guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, there's still evidence potentially of there was something wrong that happened. I think people should know that. Although charges aren't being pressed, that doesn't mean that there wasn't some evidence that there was a corrupt deal or bargain between Gordon Fox, the Speaker of the House, and this guy Mike Corso. And who else was potentially involved in this?
State Republican Chairman Brandon Bell is staunchly supporting your campaign to run against Speaker Mattiello. You face a primary with a fellow Republican, Shauna Lawton, in Cranston. Brandon Bell likes to say that Mattiello is linked to other lawmakers who've run into legal or criminal problems, like Gordon Fox, Ray Gallison, and John Carnevale. You're a lawyer, so do you support the concept that people should be judged by their associates?
That's an interesting concept when you say judged by their associates. I'll say this. If you are in a leadership role and you surround yourself with people who have ethical or legal problems, that says something about you. And you know what it says about you? You tolerate corruption. You tolerate unethical conduct. That's what it says about me. I mean, that's what it would say about me. If you're hanging out with mobsters, you're maybe not a mobster, but it seems like you're okay with that, right? That's the way I look at it. If you're hanging out with people who are being investigated by the Ethics Commission, i.e. Don Lally, you are putting people in positions of power who basically commit voter fraud, i.e. Mr. Carnevale, or in the case of Ray Gallison, you put him in charge of an $8 billion budget and he has ethical problems. You knew you had Ethics Commission find him before. That kind of tells me that you have a judgment issue, don't you?
Let's go to Dan.
Now, to stay on John Carnevale for a second, as you walk your district, which is not it's not in Providence, it's not in Johnson, it's not that district, how much are you hearing from voters about concerns specifically about that Carnevale incident?
I've talked to almost 700 voters. I mean, I've knocked on over almost 2,000 doors, but I've talked to about 700 voters. I keep track of it. It was going up to almost 100 people, and we're talking about John Carnevale in some way. It would be usually like oh, that state house needs to be cleaned up. Do you see that guy with the t-shirt on his face? The guy who says he lives in the basement and uses his tenant's toilet? And that Ray Gallison, that's another popular character, I'll tell you right now, on the campaign trail. They people talk about him too. I mean, these there is a group of people out there who are upset, and it penetrated to the average voter's sort of mindset.
Let's shift to national politics for a minute. Donald Trump, the Republican presidential candidate, has had one of the roughest weeks of his campaign. He's faced a lot of criticism over his interaction with the Khan family, the parents of an American soldier who was killed in combat abroad. Stephen Frost, you've said that you will support Trump essentially because he's the Republican nominee, if I'm correct. How do you respond to critics who say that Trump is utterly unqualified to be president?
Okay, this is the part of the show where I want to phone a friend and answer this question. All right. Thank you. Basically, I'm the Republican National Committee man, and so I'm required to support the Republican nominee, and that's what I'm doing. Now, I will say this about Donald Trump, and I generally have a policy of not talking about Donald Trump because if he does not talk about me, I don't want to talk about him. But I'll say this. Fighting with a Gold Star family is a losing battle for every politician who does it, everyone. And the more he talks about the cons, and the less he talks about the Clintons, the more likely he's going to lose. So that's what I have to say about him. He's the nominee. I support the nominee. My position in the party, I'm required to support the nominee.
But when you say you're required to support and you will support him on election day, will you vote for Donald Trump?
I'll be supporting the Republican ticket, yeah.
So you'll vote for him?
That's what I'm going to be doing, supporting the Republican ticket.
When you look at, when you hear this week, especially after sort of a rough week, when you hear talk about the potential of Trump being replaced as the nominee, do you buy into that? Could you imagine a scenario where he is replaced at the top of the ticket?
This is a great media question because it requires speculation about speculation. So let me give you my speculation. I think Donald Trump is not a quitter. He's never quit in life. He's gone into bankruptcies. He's had lots of problems, but he's not a quitter. And so the thought of Donald Trump deciding to quit the race, is it possible? Yeah, but I don't see him as a quitter.
Who would you like to see run as the Republican candidate for governor in 2018?
I'm going to focus on my election, and then I'm going to get in trouble when I make my opinion known after the election.
Is there anyone that you're aware of that is considering it?
No, not really. I mean, everybody is so focused right now on this election. Let's go through some people. I mean, you always hear these rumors like, you know, Alan Fung may want to run or Ken Block may want to do it, or maybe somebody completely new. I have no idea. So for me to be saying to you, Ian, hey, I have a wish list and this is who I want to run, I think it's so premature. And all I'm going to do is get myself in trouble. And I'm going to get you guys all speculating and Twitter world's going to go bananas. I got to focus on my race right now.
We already know that Minority Leader Brian Newberry says that he will not seek to continue to be the leader. Do you have someone in mind that you would support?
Other than myself?
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you consider?
No, I'm sorry. I'm making a little bit of a joke. I'll be open-minded about whoever wants to do it. My whole thing is I'd like to see somebody who's going to be up there standing strong on principle and taking on the leadership if they are not going to be working to change Rhode Island. Mike Chippendale is a good man. I've seen him take on 38 Studios very well. I actually respect Pat Morgan on what she did on the tolls. I know I don't want to get into the primary issue, but I'd still respect her. And, you know, there's lots of good people who I could see supporting Minority Leader. I haven't committed to anybody, if that's what you're asking, Dan.
We need to leave it there. Thanks for joining us. Dan McGowan from WPRI.com.
Thanks for having me.
And Stephen Frost running for state rep in Cranston, hoping to take on House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello as a Republican.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, follow our website at ripr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.